This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
For daily content, follow Bartholomew Town on Instagram and TikTok.
At HealthSource RI for Employers, we provide access to health insurance to more than 1,100 local businesses and nonprofits, and 96% of them renew through us every year. Maybe it's our choice of 19 different health plans, our 10 years of customizing solutions, or our one local team of dedicated experts helping employers find quality health insurance. See how our numbers stack up for you. Learn more at healthsourceri.com/employers.
Half Street Group brings a new generation's perspective to leadership communications, strategic public relations, and digital marketing. Half Street helps organizations and leaders take control of their own stories and manage their reputations. They get results for their clients by focusing on audience, message, and culture, and by leveraging their decade-long relationship with media and opinion leaders in the Ocean State and throughout New England. Join me and Half Street Group founder and president Mike Rea for a conversation every month about news of the day, the hottest media analysis, and a look behind the scenes at how impactful leaders drive conversations. Learn more at halfstreetgroup.com. All right, we are talking an interesting program that is part of just a broader push, I think, in recent times towards reopening the door for folks when it comes to post-secondary education, when it comes to job training. And this is the new Rhode Island Reconnect Center and the Reconnect Program. We're joined by Post-Secondary Education Commissioner Shannon Gilkey this morning. And thanks for your time, Shannon.
Absolutely. Great to be here and great to talk about, you know, something that I have a deep passion for and something that I think that we have, you know, a national leader program when it comes to delivering post-secondary, particularly for adults that need to pivot because the job market changes and we want our Rhode Islanders to do better for themselves. So great to be here and great to dive in.
Yeah, it's a really important topic. We've touched on it over the years here on this show with College Unbound and with some of the other more hyper-specific job training in the green economy, blue economy. But this is a broad stroke and a really great program, as you said, for a changing job market. I guess first and foremost, when they think education commissioner, they're naturally going to think Angelica Infante Green, but you should be right there in that conversation as well. So what exactly on a day-to-day basis do you do as the post-secondary commissioner?
Yes. Thanks. That's a great question. Yeah, we don't have a lot of, exposure to there's a lot of people around the state. And I think when I arrived here 3 years ago that didn't really understand that we had an office, that we had a commissioner for higher education or post-secondary and what our office does on a day-to-day basis. But the best way I can describe it is that, you know, the state of Rhode Island has a vested interest in having higher education. I mean, we have 13 wonderful institutions that do a variety of amazing, amazing things, but the state has a vested interest in that. You know, for example, we know that by 2030, 7 out of 10 jobs will require education and training beyond high school. So if our economy needs that, if our citizens need access to that higher education system or ecosystem, then we need to make sure that we're pushing that ecosystem to do better, to serve more people, to have stronger outcomes. And we need to make sure that the state leadership understands what the institutions need in order to make that education available and that it continues to be high quality. So our office represents that vested interest on both sides. We work with the institutions, all of them, all 13. And then we work with the state leadership. And my role as the commissioner of higher education is to be that intermediary between the two. And our office, our support staff does that on a day-to-day basis.
It's interesting because there definitely is a lot more renewed chatter about the affordability of college and the practicality of college as well. That's something that's definitely a pivot from when I was in high school, where it was basically, you got to go to college or you've got no shot at any kind of future. That was a real talking point. There's certainly no doubt about it that a post-secondary education is critical to making a living wage and beyond. But there's a lot more to this conversation than just the affordability of college. What are some of those other major issues that face higher education these days?
Yes, and I think about my own kids, you know, 9 and a 6-year-old. Is college going to be worth it? You know, I come from a family that my dad was a coal miner, and he's a welder now in the trades, and so, but my generation, you know, it came up through the 90s, 80s and 90s. It was, you go to college. You know, college was a mandate, and I think we're having some questions about that as a society, and primarily with the headline, "Is college worth it?" And there was a beautiful piece that was written in the New York Times last fall that tried to say, you know, what is the value proposition of higher education today? Is it delivering, you know, what it needs to? And cost is obviously a huge sector, you know, a piece of that. The other is, you know, part of that complex conversation is what I study in higher education, if I'm paying this premium, or if my family's paying for this premium, or if the state is paying this premium, as costs go up, is it aligned to a good job? Is it going to help have that return on investment for the state, whoever, you know, and for the individual, for the family, because it's such an investment of time and resources, when there are other options out there, like apprenticeships, or that you can do to get a good job and have access to a good job. So I think, is college worth it? Is higher education worth it? What is the value proposition of what we're talking about here? Is certainly a national conversation. We're having it right here in the state.
For sure. What's interesting, and I, full disclosure, they sponsor this podcast, but the University of Rhode Island's online programs are an example of where there's opportunities for certificates, not necessarily even full degrees, that at minimum can launch a career opportunity across a variety of fields. And so those types of situations are also important, I think, where you're looking at a modified version of what college is. It doesn't necessarily mean you go for 4 years somewhere and, you know, you have to basically put your life on hold, especially if you're somebody who's not 18 to 23. To that point, I saw that your office recently opened an office in the Shepherd Building in downtown Providence. And that helps folks who really need help with non-tuition expenses. The Shepherd Building used to be where the University of Rhode Island had their Providence campus, and that was a major piece for sort of adult, if you will, adult education. Let's talk about that non-tuition expense assistance that you've got an office for set up downtown.
Yeah, so it's called Rhode Island Reconnect. RIReconnect.org is the access point online for it, and it's right behind City Hall. And you know, we offer free parking at the convention center to come access that site. But let me tell you what the site does. So we know, particularly for adults, but I would say for even for folks coming out of high school right into higher ed, that life gets in the way. That you have, you know, non-academic barriers is the phrase we use, but you know, it's life. You know, you have housing needs or temporary housing needs. You have food insecurity. We have daycare, childcare, elderly care, because we have a lot of our students today, 18 and up, are working more than they ever have before. They're trying to prioritize higher education. They're trying to take care of loved ones across the whole population demographic, young and old, and they need a little help. And we found, particularly, and this was kind of birthed out of the pandemic, when we were trying to get some of our Rhode Islanders who had lost their job because the pandemic just decimated some of our industries. We were trying to pivot them and get them back to work. And we found that if you can give somebody a little bit of help when life gets in the way, that we have a tremendous outcome on redirecting that individual through education and training, because some of that's that is obviously required for a lot of our jobs today. You can get them to that finish line and they can get in that good job. And in fact, Bill, we found that if you spend during the pandemic, around $1,500 on a Rhode Islander that's trying to get that education and training, 87% of the time they finish it and they land in the good job. Mm-hmm. So thanks to the McKee administration and the Rhode Island General Assembly, they've placed an additional $8 million into Rhode Island Reconnect. And we have upped it from spending $1,500 to between $3,000 and $4,000, to help Rhode Islanders assist them along their, you know, along their path to getting that credential, just to help them with life, you know. And life could be, Hey, commissioner, I need temporary relief for food insecurity. And we make sure that they get that. It's not a reimbursement program. We pay the bill, and we use our wonderful partners at the United Way to deliver the actual resources, in the form of like gas cards, food card, grocery cards, you know, things that they need to help them get to the finish. We buy a lot of laptops if it's a technology need to get them to the finish line. And we're having pretty good luck with it. So that Providence location is, so we have, you know, right in the population center in Providence, we have a storefront where they can come in and get that assistance.
Speaker Shikarchi said of this program, Rhode Island Reconnect is breaking down barriers to help individuals advance in life. This program is changing lives and helping people move out of the cycle of poverty while finding a career path that is meaningful. I was proud to support the inclusion of $8 million in our state budget to support this incredibly meaningful work. And really what it is it breaks the cycle of poverty to have the governor's talked about this, and sometimes he said it so often that sometimes maybe he gets lost, but it's about jobs. It's about raising incomes. He had some bold goals in his State of the State address. In order to initiate that process, you need to have the background to be able to get those jobs. We also need to attract those jobs to our state. That's a different conversation. But in the midst of this, over the last few years, of course, COVID-19 threw a wrench in all best intentions. So I ask you, from your standpoint, how disruptive was COVID to higher education? And what changes in higher ed happened because of COVID that are here for the long term, here to stay? And then as a result, how do you pivot with a program like Reconnect or any of the other initiatives you might be engaged in?
Yeah, so COVID was another, in addition to be dramatic health crisis, it was also an economic disruptor. And we've had two over the last 15 years, the banking crisis in 2008, and then the pandemic. Each time we've had these major economic shocks to the economy, and we've lost jobs because it's disrupted certain sectors like the banking sector, financial sector in 2008, and then the retail hospitality sector. Travel sector here in during the pandemic and others, then we have this moment where new jobs are created when you're trying to get out of that economic shock. And both in 2008 and we're still getting some data of the pandemic, but after 2008, over 99% of jobs that were created after the banking crisis in 2008 required a credential and post-secondary. So when you're taking jobs offline because of the economic shock to the system and you're adding new jobs, but those jobs require more education and training, you know, there is a state vested interest. There's a public good and there's a private good for the individual to have access to not just the education and training, but the actual support systems to make sure you finish the education and training. And in Rhode Island and New England has two population changes in population that I think are really important to this conversation. One, we have less folks coming from K-12 into post-secondary, or we have a declining birth rate on that front. And we have an aging baby boomer population. So if we want to make sure that middle population has a mechanism to become better educated, and we need support systems to do that. That's really what we've learned in the post-secondary world. And it could be where, you know, that an individual wants to just change careers, or they want their career might be going away because, let's say, automation or AI is going to take over. We need to have these mechanisms to help them pivot. And adults, you know, once you enter that 18 and up, you have life, and life is disruptive sometimes. And we need to have a state vested program to make sure we help them with that. Mm. That's the bottom line.
You mentioned AI, you mentioned automation of all sorts. And look, there's no question about it. The governor just rolled out, I guess it was last week, sort of initiatives around AI where he wants to be a leader. The reality, though, is that, hey, when we see this workforce disruption, the more prepared each individual is to navigate that and be able to pivot to either brand new jobs or a revised version of what a job is, the better. And so my last question to you, not just because of AI, but in general, true or false, the more certificates that you have, the more degrees you have, the more job training you have, the higher income you're going to make. Is that a fair, from a data standpoint, is that a fair statement?
From a data standpoint, more education still pays. In fact, for a four-year degree, it's about a $1.5 million difference in over lifetime earnings. But the caveat to that, and I tell young people this, I'll tell my own kids this, is it really matters what you pick. You know, I think long gone are the days where, this was my generation, my parents were like, you got to go to college to get a good job, right? To do better than we did. And I was a first gen student. You got to go to college. And I think my perspective on that is yes, but because the investment of time and resources is so intense, make sure you really have a plan for identifying what you want to do and how that's going to pay, particularly if you're a first gen student, particularly if you have you're using your federal or state financial aid, or you have to take out loans because it's already, you're spending up to 4 years out of the economy. And we want to make sure that folks come out of that higher education experience. And it's up to us as educators to make sure our programs are aligned to those good jobs. So that ROI indicator goes up. So yes, the general notion, data-driven notion, according to the Georgetown Center for Education and the Economy out of DC, is that there is about a $1.4, $1.5 million difference in lifetime earnings for a four-year degree versus a high school degree counterpart. But it really does matter, in my opinion, what you pick.
Well said. Really well said. Completely agree. Rhode Island Commissioner of Post-Secondary Education, Shannon Gilkey, hey, thanks so much for the time this morning.
Absolutely. Happy to come back and talk. I appreciate the airtime. This is really important to our state and to our citizens, and we're here to help them do those things. Thanks for the time, Bill.